Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Now at Pneuma South, we are actually doing a sermon series on the Beatitudes. So over the last few weeks, we've been looking into what it means to be blessed. The series title is called The Blessed Ones, The Blessed Ones. And we've been looking into Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus describes the truly blessed life. And we see that Jesus has a view of blessing that we probably don't really have in our modern society, in our Western society today. It's very different to what we think blessing is. So let's all turn to Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 10. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 10. And the word beatitude is just the Latin word for blessed or happy. The blessed life, the blessed ones. Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 to 10. And it says, "Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountain and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. And he said, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.'" Jesus has a very different view of what blessing looks like in this life and the life to come. And so today I've titled this sermon, "Your Posture Matters." Your posture matters. Now, if you ask any good doctor, any good physio, any good osteo, any chiropractor, they will tell you that your posture matters. And these days, there are quite a few things that that affect our posture today. One of those things is our devices, our smartphones, our iPads, our laptops, our computers. Most of us are looking at our phones either like this or like this. Then also, when we're at our workplaces, in front of the screens, in the office, have you ever experienced any tightness in your shoulders or your neck before from your screens or your devices? Also, we have an epidemic of a problem called sitting. Who would have thought? Now, I read something recently that said, sitting is the new smoking. Sitting is the new smoking. Fancy that. And the issue with sitting is that it can actually cause poor spine health if you sit down for too long. And this can compress the discs in your spine and lead to premature degeneration, which can be very painful and make you very sore. And so ask anyone who has any hip or neck or back issues, posture issues can really affect the way you live, and it can really affect your life. And so if that is true in the physical, how much more in the spiritual? Your posture matters, and your posture matters to God. Now, when we think of posture, we often think about what people can see on the outside. Maybe it's your shoulders, your neck, your spine, the way you stand, the way you sit. Take a look at the person next to you. Take a look at their posture. How are they sitting or slouching? Is anyone sleeping yet? Give them a bit of a poke. But when we look at posture, we often think about what's on the outside. But God actually looks a lot deeper. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, it says, "For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the..." So here we see that God looks at more than what is on your outside. He actually sees what is on the inside of you. The posture that is within you. The internal posture of your heart. And so today the question that we need to ask ourselves is, what posture actually matters to God? What is the posture that matters to God? Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 5 and read verse 5. What does it say? It says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." In this scripture, we see that Jesus is describing the posture of those who are blessed and those who belong to his kingdom. And this posture is called meekness, or to be meek. And today we're going to focus on this word meek or meekness. Now, when you hear the word meek, what do you think of? What comes to mind? Maybe it's someone who is passive. Maybe it's someone who is quiet. Maybe it's someone who is a pushover or lacks a backbone. What do you think of when you think of the word meekness? Society can often view meekness as a weakness. It can see it as a negative light. But to Jesus, just in verse 5, he actually calls this blessed. It's a positive thing to him. It's a positive thing to Jesus to be meek. So it can't be a weakness. Now, being meek was not a concept, a new concept that Jesus was unpacking here in this verse, in verse 5, in his sermon. Jesus is actually quoting and referring to a psalm that David wrote, Psalm chapter 37, verse 11. And it says that the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. And so to understand the word meek, we actually have to go back and look into the Hebrew word for meek and understand what it actually means. And it's really interesting. In Hebrew, the word meek is the word anav, A-N-A-V. And it actually refers to those who are humble, meek, poor and afflicted. And the Hebrew word actually brings out a meaning that it's not just a state of where people are at, but it's actually a state of posture. It is a state of character where one depends on God. Now, anyone can be needy. Anyone can be poor. Anyone can be afflicted. But this word enough, which we translate to meek or humble, refers to one who actually chooses to lower themselves towards God. One who actually chooses to depend on God. And so, it doesn't matter what your circumstances are. Maybe you're struggling with a health issue. Maybe you're struggling with family problems. Maybe you're struggling with issues at work. It actually doesn't matter what your circumstances are externally around you. You can actually choose to position yourself towards God in the midst of your circumstances. You can choose to position and posture yourself to depend on God. And so the question that we need to ask ourselves today is, why is meekness a blessing? Why is meekness a blessing? And we see it in this definition, because it actually invites God into your world, into your circumstances, on the inside of you. The blessing is God Himself, His very presence, His very personhood that gets brought in when we choose to change our posture and turn towards God. But the question we also need to ask is, how do I actually live meekly? How do I posture myself to live in meekness? And the first thing that we can do to live in meekness is to posture yourself low in prayer. Posture yourself low in prayer. Often we want to be in control of things. But we need to actually learn to surrender our need to be in control. We actually need to position ourselves to pray and to call to the God who actually is in control over all things. A meek person is someone who is not passive, but we are actually active in turning to God in prayer. A meek person is someone who has learned to bring everything to God in prayer and also trust Him with the outcome. And if we are not living a life in prayer towards God, we're not actually living lives of meekness. We're actually living in pride. Scriptures tell us that God opposes the proud, but He draws near and comes to the humble. And so when we posture ourselves meekly in prayer, we actually get to encounter God. He draws near to us. He draws near to you with his very presence. God comes to meet you in your lowly state. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 29, let's turn to that. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 29. These are the words of Jesus. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle, or the word is meek, and humble in heart, and you will find rest in your souls. Here we see an invitation from Jesus to come to him. When you are feeling burdened, when you are feeling anxious, whatever state you are feeling with the chaos around you, there is an invitation from Jesus to come to him. And the promise that we see here is that Jesus actually comes to meet us in our low state, in our meek state. How does Jesus describe himself here in this passage? He says these words, I am meek, I am gentle, I am humble, I am lowly in spirit. And so Jesus is giving us a picture that where we may be feeling low and coming low towards God, he actually comes down and is already low, waiting for us. He's already humbled himself in meekness to be there to wait for you. The lower that you feel that you are, Jesus is already there in his meekness waiting for you. When you draw near to him, he will draw near to you. And so the question we need to ask ourselves today is, do we live a life of meekness before God in prayer? When was the last time you got on your knees and prayed before God? Where you humbled yourself and prayed to him? Who knows, life can get busy, really busy. Like, we blink and we're in another Sunday. How much time did you spend with God in prayer this week? Intentionally. If we don't live a life of prayer, we're actually living a life of pride. And so if you look back on your past week, were you living in pride towards God? Or were you living in meekness and humility before him in prayer? The second thing that we can do to live a life of meekness is to actually posture ourselves with restraint and with grace. We can posture ourselves with restraint and with grace. And what that means is we don't take matters into our own hands. Now, when it comes to meekness and humility, it doesn't mean that you are weak or that you are not strong. But it actually means that the strength that you have is actually restrained. The strength and power, the strength and authority you have is restrained. And when we live a life of meekness, it actually refuses to the way of asserting ourselves. It's a life where we don't act in pride, where we don't act in vengeance, a life where we don't act in anger. We don't domineer and we don't demand. We don't take matters into our own hands, but we actually restrain ourselves to give space for God to act on our behalf. Let's turn to Romans chapter 12, verses 17 to 19. Romans chapter 12, verses 17 to 19. Listen to what the Apostle Paul tells us. He says, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Carefully consider what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible on your part, live at peace with everyone. Do not avenge yourself, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord." And so here we are exhorted to be not a person who cannot fight, but to be a person who trusts God to fight on our behalf in our time of need. We actually don't need to fight in our own strength. But when we are meek, we give space for God to move and to act on our behalf. Meekness is strength and power controlled and restrained. And we see this really clearly in the life of Jesus. We see that meekness is not something that we only posture ourselves towards God, but it's actually experienced by other people around us. And let's take a look and see how Jesus lived his life. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 to 23. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 to 23. It says, "Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example, that you should follow in his footsteps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly." Here we see Jesus, the Son of God, who had all power, he had all authority. He could call legions of angels at his command. He could stop the storms in the sea with a single word of peace. But he chose to live a life of meekness. In his suffering, he chose to live a life of meekness. He showed restraint. Here is God who has all power and strength and yet showed restraint to not act out of his own will and own desires. And we see that he entrusted himself completely in his circumstances to God, his Father. Can you see how meek Jesus is? He's meek, he's lowly, he's humble. And we see that Jesus didn't just show restraint in his ability to act. He actually swapped it with showing grace. Instead of acting in pride and his assertion of himself and his own will, he showed grace. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, Jesus says, "You have heard that it was said, 'Love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I tell you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven." In the midst of your own suffering, in the midst of your own oppression, in the midst of the chaos that is in your world and life, what is the restraint that you need to show towards God and towards other people? In what ways do you not need to demand your own way or act out of anger and pride? How can you posture yourself in meekness? And the other way that we can posture ourselves in meekness is by waiting. You can posture yourself in meekness to wait. First Peter chapter 5, verse 6. It tells us to humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time, God will exalt you. There is a proper time for things. God has his timing. God will act, even though you may not like his timing. Let's also turn to Psalm chapter 37, which is where Jesus was quoting from. Let's turn to verse 7, and we're going to read to verse 13. Let's listen to what King David has to say. At the time of writing this, David was looking around and seeing the oppression and the evil and the suffering that the people of Israel and those around in the nations were experiencing. And this is what he says. "Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret or do not worry when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, do not worry, it only leads to evil. For those who are evil will be destroyed. But those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy peace and prosperity. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them. But the Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming. In these verses, David is reminding us that God sees the injustice, the suffering, the pain, the evil, the oppression that is all around us. And David also encourages that God actually has a plan to deal with that. God has a plan to deal with evil, and he will act. Judgment day is coming. But there is a condition of waiting before God, to wait patiently. And this is the passage that Jesus is quoting from. He says, "The meek will inherit the land. Those who posture themselves in humility before God and wait on him will see God act, will see God judge evil, will see God work and move at the proper time." So in your own life today, with the issues and evils that you are facing and suffering, be encouraged. God sees, he has a plan, and he will act. And all we need to do is to humble ourselves in meekness and wait for him to move. A meek person doesn't have to force outcomes. A meek person doesn't need to open doors for themselves. A meek person trusts in God's timing. God does have a timing. God does have a plan. And when we live with this posture of meekness, trusting in God, waiting on God, there is a blessing that is attached to it. My final point today is your posture matters. It actually positions you for a promised inheritance. It positions you for a promised inheritance. Now, there is a blessing with meekness today. And that blessing is that we get to encounter the God who is meek. In the midst of your circumstances, whatever you are facing in life, you get to encounter God, to encounter Jesus in that space. That is the blessing today. But there is also a blessing, an inheritance that will come. Jesus says the meek will inherit the earth, will inherit the land. And there is a promise that is going to be fulfilled in the future in our lives. Now, to the Israelite who was listening to David and reading his words and to Jesus at the time, they knew that Jesus and David was talking about the land of Canaan, God's appointed land for his people, a land that was flowing with milk and honey, a land where all the evil would be wiped out, would be taken away. But for us today, it is more than just a physical land here on earth. It is the land that is to come, the future that awaits us, the glorious inheritance of a new heavens and a new earth. This is a place where God dwells. This is a place where there is no evil. There is no oppression. This is a place of joy and peace. And so, with meekness, there comes a blessing for you both today and an inheritance to come. So as we come to a close, I'd love to invite the team up on stage with me. If you want to live a truly blessed life, then your posture must be of meekness. Looking at your own life today, what areas of adjustment and correction does your own posture in here need? Do you need to grow in your posture of prayer before God? To come before Him meekly and humbly in prayer? Maybe in your life you need to actually learn how to be meek and show restraint in the way you act and treat people. To remove anger and pride, self-assertion from your life. Or maybe you need to posture yourself to actually wait and trust in God that He will act and that He will move at the proper time. So what area in your life, what are the areas in our lives that need to be adjusted and corrected before God?
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.